So anyway, my name's Tony. Good to see you all. Simon, are you still here? Yes, still here. Good. Thank you for making my life so much easier for the last 4 years, telling me turn it on and then turn it off, turn it on again, it'll all be fine. And a few other things in between. It's been a brilliant 4 years I've been here now, and you've made my life so much better, as you as a person. And Nicola, thank you for releasing him to serve me and me alone. No. It's much more than that. Yeah, good to see you. Wonderful baptisms. I was chatting earlier this week, and I said, well, Christmas is nearly over. And they said, Christmas hasn't even come yet. That's where I was at. But then I thought, I've actually watched a Christmas film. Anyone here watched a Christmas film yet? Right, here we go. Shout out a few of your favourite Christmas songs. Film. Scrooge, Muppets, Home Alone, Wonderful Life. John T, come on, you're a creative. Come on. Wonderful Life, good. Well, my favourite film, I have a short memory, and so it's normally the last film I watched. And the last Christmas film I watched was called The Nativity. We all like that one? I mean, that is brilliant, isn't it? You know, if I was in charge of education, which is probably a good idea, I'm nowhere near in charge of education, I'd say, don't worry about teacher training, all be like Mr. Poppy. I mean, you know, if I was in school, that's who I'd want to be, right? I don't want to be the teacher, Mr. Poppy. Anyway, I can see by the look of your faces, you're slightly troubled by that worry. But anyway, let's move on. Great to see the baptism, Bryce and Suri and Sylvia. As Ashley said, she told a bit of a lie, saying last week was a great meeting, carol service, but this is amazing. Your stories, your journey in God, what a joy to be here to celebrate with them. As they say, I'm nailing my colours to the mast, I belong to Jesus, and I'm going to follow him for the rest of my days. So I've got a question for you. This is one you just think of, right? Don't shout it out. How did God come onto the horizon of your life? When did that happen? Maybe it was in dramatic fashion. Maybe it was like Sylvia's journey, quite powerful and emotional. Maybe it was over a period of time, growing up in church, like Bryce and Suri. Maybe you would say, well, I'm not even aware of God on the horizon of my life. We're going to look at something out of the Christmas story, obviously. It's the 21st of December. And we're going to look at Mary's encounter with God. It's called the Magnificat, and how God entered the horizon of her life. Well, when I say Mary, it's a little bit interactive. It will stop after this last question, but I will just be talking to you from that point. When I say Mary, the mother of Jesus, what do you think? What crosses your mind? Are you a little confused regarding her importance or otherwise? And I don't know about you, looking around the room, you've probably, like me, have been to a number of nativity plays. And I did those decades ago, but I'm now in that cycle of life where I'm re-invited to grandchildren's. I thought I'd got away with it, but anyway, you know, back in it. We're back in the nativity. And what I've worked out is that Mary is always this mute figure in the nativity scene. She says nothing. She's a silent figure. And so what they're looking for, so when the teachers or Mr. Poppy are looking to do the play, like they want a cute girl who looks lovely, she doesn't have to say anything, she's just got to hold a doll. That's all she's got to do in the nativity play, with a smiling face. And today we're going to look at the real story, what it really was like. And it's in Luke 1, 39 to 56. So if you get yourselves at that point, you've got a Bible. It will come up on the screen in a few minutes. But so much has happened before these verses we're going to read. Zechariah and Elizabeth, Elizabeth is Mary's much older cousin. And she couldn't conceive. Her and her husband were righteous before God. They were on the right track. But they were childless and old. This is a story that's happened before in the Bible. And Zechariah was a righteous man, and he was chosen to go into the temple to burn incense. And this was something of an honor. He was a man, he was part of a family that honored God, and this was a particular honoring moment for him. And then an angel appears before him. Do not be afraid. Your prayer has been answered. You will have a boy, and you're to call him John. He will be great in the sight of the Lord, and he will be filled with the Holy Spirit even before he is born. So Elizabeth becomes pregnant. And, oh, by the way, because of Zechariah's disbelief in this visitation of an angel. Thank you. To get the limelight. She fixed that. You've made me lose my place. You're good. Yeah, there's always a divided opinion when you mock your wife. Gently, very gently. Anyway, let's get back to the point. So Zechariah, the husband of Elizabeth, who's now become pregnant, and he was not allowed to speak. God didn't allow him to speak till John was born because of his lack of faith. Be careful. And so at this point, Elizabeth is 6 months pregnant when it says that Mary hurries to see Elizabeth, her cousin. And so the angel Gabriel appears to Mary. Greetings. You are highly favored of God. Mary was troubled. The angel always has that effect, right? It's a troubling moment. I don't know if you've ever seen an angel. I don't know that I have, but I imagine it will be quite a troubling moment. And the angel replies, do not be afraid. You are going to give birth to the Son of God, the Savior of the world. How, Mary says? By the power of the Holy Spirit, and God will overshadow you. So let's pick up the story. Luke 1, 39 to 56. At that time, Mary got ready and hurried to a town in the hill country of Judea, where she entered Zechariah's home and greeted Elizabeth. When Elizabeth heard Mary's greeting, the baby leaped in her womb, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. In a loud voice, she exclaimed, blessed are you among women, and blessed is the child you will bear. But why am I so favored that the mother of my Lord should come to me? As soon as the sound of your greeting reached my ears, the baby in my womb leaped for joy. Blessed is she who has believed that the Lord would fulfill his promise to her. And Mary said, my soul glorifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Saviour, for he has been mindful of the humble state of his servant. I just want that word, mindful of the humble state of his servant. He's mindful of you and me. He knows where we're at. He knows all that we're going through. He knows the struggles. He knows the challenges. He's mindful of every part of your life. And he's mindful of the humble state of the servant. From now on, all generations will call me blessed. For the Mighty One has done great things for me. Holy is his name. His mercy extends to those who fear him, from generation to generation. God's work will continue and has continued from the beginning and right through to when he wraps it all up. He has performed mighty deeds with his arm. He has scattered those who are proud in their inmost thoughts. He has brought down rulers from their thrones, but has lifted up the humble. He has filled the hungry with good things, but he has sent the rich away empty. He has helped his servant Israel, remembering to be merciful to Abraham and his descendants forever, just as he promised our ancestors. Mary stayed with Elizabeth for about 3 months and then returned home. As you can see, the perception of Mary as a mute, nothing to say, a dormant woman is just categorically untrue. If you're a teacher here, next year you can put that right. Mary rushes to see her cousin, who is also pregnant. And look at the remarkable contrast right there. Elizabeth, unable to conceive in her old age, and Mary, a young woman. The theologians would all agree Mary was somewhere between 14 and 16 years old. And what a good picture this morning with Suri and Bryce in and around that age. That's how old Mary would have been, carrying the Son of God.
a young, unmarried teenager. But Mary was a worshipper of God. She lived in an occupied country. She was considered a peasant, but she had a soft heart towards God. And she knew of the scriptures. Perhaps she was aware of the prophecy in Isaiah 7:14. Therefore, the Lord himself will give you a sign. The virgin will conceive and give birth to a son and will call him Emmanuel, meaning God with us. The angel Gabriel has explained this to her, and she says, may your word to me be fulfilled. Mary is at first troubled, and then it's like there's a change. I trust God. Do to me as you say. Mary goes from fear and confusion to worship, to wonder and worship. What is in the heart will flow out. Mary leans in towards God. She gets past the fear and all of the practicalities of explaining to Joseph, having a baby, asking questions like, how will I cope? What about my parents? What am I going to say to them? What about the shame? Who will believe me? And Mary meets up with Elizabeth. She hurries there and stays 3 months. And when we read those verses, my soul glorifies the Lord and my spirit rejoices in my God, my Saviour, for he has been mindful of me. She meets up with Elizabeth. Quite a baby shower, wouldn't you agree? I've never been to one. No idea when it goes on there. And I'd like to keep it that way, right? So if any of you don't feel you need to tell me what goes on, I really, really, it's best that way. Anyway, no gifts, no games, just the presence of God through the Holy Spirit as these two women get together. The best ever NCT group ever in the history of the world. And it's an amazing moment. Verse 41, 42 and 43 says this: when Elizabeth heard Mary's greeting, the baby leaped in her womb, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. In a loud voice, she exclaimed, blessed are you among women, and blessed is the child you will bear. But why am I so favored that the mother of my Lord should come to me? The Holy Spirit is involved right the way through the whole story, from beginning to the end of the Bible, but especially in this moment. The Holy Spirit brings joy, brings revelation, and they're basking in the glory of God, these two women. Baby John in the womb, leaping, filled with the Holy Spirit. Elizabeth filled with the Holy Spirit. And in fact, Elizabeth has this revelation that this child is of great significance, that he is the Lord. He is the Saviour of the world. And Mary must have been drinking all this in. You are favoured of God, carrying the Son of God. And Mary can't contain herself. Do you sort of pick that up in these verses? In other words, what she says with her whole being. Sorry, let me just go back a bit. She's drinking all this in and she can't contain herself. She's not paying lip service to what's going on. She's not going through the motions. She's not externally just saying the right things to Elizabeth. Verse 46 and 47 says, my soul glorifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Saviour. With her whole being, she worships God. My soul, my spirit, meaning the very essence of who she is, of who we are. In other words, what is inside us pours out, comes out of us, and that's what's coming out of Mary, worship of God. It's who we are. And this song of worship is welling up from the depths of her being. Her soul is saturated in a sense of the divine, his overwhelming presence, really grasping hold of who God is, the mercy of God over her life. And Mary describes a vision of who God is. Verse 48 says, for he has been mindful of the humble state of his servant. Verses 51 and 52. He has scattered those who are proud in their inmost thoughts. He has brought down rulers from their thrones, but he has lifted up the humble. Mary, anointed of God, declares that God regards the lowly, the humble, the the broken in spirit. The Lord is near to the brokenhearted. God comes to people such as these. He gives grace to the humble and opposes the proud. And I know many of you here, and I know some of you, even in recent days, have been brought low. He is near to you. He overshadows you. His grace flows ever towards you. And Mary recognized where she was at. And it's good for us to recognize where we're at, that we're spiritually bankrupt, destitute before God. And we come to Jesus empty-handed, nothing, naked, poor. And if we come to Jesus like that, we are the object of his love and care. God balances it all out. There's stuff in there about justice. He will make it all right. Nothing will be outside of his gaze. Whatever struggles, whatever challenges, whatever injustice you've encountered or you see around around the world, it will all be made right. God knows. And Mary recognizes this. She needs a savior. My soul glorifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in my God, my savior. And I said at the beginning, some people might not be sure how to think about Mary. Well, she's clearly favored by God and plays a remarkable part in the story of God. But she knew she needed a savior. All have fallen short of the glory of God, even Mary, even you, even me. So Mary's outpouring of worship, her magnifying of the Lord, was because she knew who her God was and she knew what she had done. She knew where she stood. Verse 49, it says, "For the mighty one has done great things for me. Holy is his name." It's very personal. Great things has he done for me. Very personal. Great things has he done. Mary is overwhelmed with God's love towards her. But it also says, "Holy is his name." Mary knows the personal. And we've heard three very personal stories this morning. But Mary recognizes who God is. His name is holy, meaning his very nature, who he is, his essence, who God is. One of God's attributes, and that holiness saturates every other attribute of God. His love, his kindness, his mercy, his compassion, his justice. It's all informed and intersects because of the nature of his holiness. God is holy. Everything he does is holy. He's not like you or me. He's not like the best version of the best person you've ever known. There is no darkness in him. God is light. A complete absence of sin. So perfectly other. And he's mighty. The mighty one has done great things for me, Mary declares. Mary understands what God has done and is doing. Yes, she understands she's playing this huge part in the redemptive story of God. But she knows who God is. God fulfilled the promise. You will give birth to Jesus, the Savior of the world. No empty promise. The biggest event in history. And that very same might and power that raised Jesus from the grave, the same might and power that brought about the virgin birth, is the same might and power through the Holy Spirit at work in you and me. I don't just mean in your daily life to get through the day, though it is that, but the very personal work of rebirth, when you were born again. If you're a follower of Jesus, like Sylvia, Bryce and Suri have just declared, Jesus has saved you and you're born again. And you and I, sometimes we can forget about this. We were dead in our sin, but he made us alive. A miracle, new birth, the Holy Spirit coming, changing everything. The work of the Holy Spirit. And earlier we saw the work of the Holy Spirit as Mary greeted Elizabeth. Such profound joy, an explosion of life. And that's true for you and me. Sometimes you might not feel it's quite the explosion you'd like it to be. But that's what God promises for us. And have you ever wondered? We love the baptisms because it's a reminder. Have you ever wondered about the significance of baptism? dead, under the water. We only leave them under a short time, but they're under the water, signifying death. What a picture. Dead, lifeless. And then this explosion of life as every bead of water drains from their body. Joy, expectancy, life in Jesus. And this is not a work of great improvement. Well done, you're better this year than last year. Well done, good mark out of 10. Getting better at following some rules. You look the part now in Grace Church. You've been around long enough. Well done. That's just like being a Pharisee. The Holy Spirit is not attempting to make you look a little bit better, to improve, you know, the outward stuff. To improve, yeah, so it's not to make you look better, but it's to lay the axe at the root of the trees and declare that we must become a new creation. And that is a supernatural work done by the omnipotent God at work in your life. Ezekiel 36, 26 and 27 says this: I will give you a new heart and put a new spirit in you. I will remove from you your heart of stone and give you a heart of flesh. And I will put my spirit in you and move you to follow my decrees and be careful to keep my laws. What an image. When you put your trust in Jesus, the promise is a new heart, a complete change. And a heart of stone represents lifelessness, no ability to bring life at all. It's cold. It does no good for the body. It can't ooze anything, no life whatsoever. The heart of stone is a dead weight. It's a cold weight. It's harsh and hard. It's unresponsive to the spiritual reality of Jesus. A cold heart, a heart of stone, has no interest in Jesus, no interest in the things of the kingdom of God, not interested in magnifying the Lord and adoring him and glorifying him. That's a heart of stone. And the opposite is described. I will give you a heart of flesh, an organ so vital to life itself, pumping blood and oxygen around the body. Boom. Boom. If you're fit like me, that's how slow it goes. Boom. For some of you, a bit quicker. But anyway, I went and visited a friend in hospital. Sorry, I've got a bit of a cold. But he's in the cardiac ward. And you walk in that ward, and there's a lot of struggling hearts in there. The picture here is that we're to have hearts that beat hard, the heart of God in us. Oxygen and blood, I don't know much about medical stuff, but something like that, pumping around our bodies, the sense of the Holy Spirit in you, in me, pumping around our bodies, doing the things of the kingdom. It's soft, it's alive, it's responsive. Now Jesus is everything. We treasure him. We delight in him. We adore him. We sang that song, Oh Come Let Us Adore Him. If I didn't have a cold, I'd have sung it. But anyway, God did great things for Mary. If you've been born again, you've received a heart of flesh instead of a heart of stone. God has done immeasurably, immeasurably great things for you. Mary said, from now on, all generations will call me blessed. Now that's probably not going to be said about me or you. All generations will call me blessed. It might not be said much at all about any of us. But it's as much true for you as it is for Mary. If you're born again, if you've got a heart of flesh in your body, spiritually speaking, you are blessed beyond any other blessing that you could receive. Ezekiel says, I will put my spirit in you. This is the promise for all who call on the Lord. Mary said, my soul glorifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Saviour. The Holy Spirit awakened us, is awakening you, and will continue to awaken you. I'm going to ask you a question. Where are you at? Where is your heart? How is your heart this morning? And I don't think Mary lived in this story, this song of the Magnificat, I glorify the Lord, all of her days. I don't think she lived in that place constantly of the overwhelming sense of the presence of God. I mean, she sort of got a little bit annoyed at Jesus at times when he was 12 and ran off. You know, we didn't run off, he was in the temple and she couldn't find him. They were annoyed or upset. It's not just about singing and delighting in God, experiencing his love and his presence, but it is at least that, to know his presence and his love and the sense of the Holy Spirit coming upon us again and again. How is your heart? Is it overwhelmed with what God has done for you and who he is? I hope it is. Maybe you're feeling like Mary did. My soul glorifies the Lord and my spirit magnifies the Lord my Saviour. I delight in the God whose name is holy. I'm so grateful for his love and his mercy. I don't get what I deserve. I get what I don't deserve. His life, eternal life. I get Jesus, the Saviour of the world. The mighty God himself coming to earth, born of a virgin, lived the perfect life. Jesus never sinned. Therefore, he could take our place on the cross. He took our death. The Holy Spirit, to all the might and power of God, raised him up. He ascended, and then he sent the Holy Spirit to all who call on his name. Have you called on his name? Then he sends the Holy Spirit to us. Then we should expect moments, shouldn't we? Expect moments, many moments, like Mary, where we're overwhelmed with who God is. I'm blessed of God. He's done mighty things. He's done great things in my life. It's great when we have answered prayers. I love it. We pray, as was said earlier. We come and we pray and we hear God answer. Even some of the stories that God is beginning to answer prayers for those three who are getting baptized. But the greatest thing is you know him. What a story. We should expect moments where, like Mary, we can do nothing else but magnify and glory King Jesus. His mercy towards you and me is new every morning, flowing towards you, flowing towards me. Mary loved God and she loved who God is. Are you moved to worship God this morning? Could the band come up, please? Are you ready to worship this King of Kings, to revere him, to be in awe of him? And maybe it doesn't quite feel like that for a while. Maybe you thought, oh, yeah, I do remember that once, or a little while back, or whatever that might have been. Maybe there's some heart issues to deal with. Well, that's okay, because this is a place to deal with them. We can repent of sin. We can move towards God and he will come towards us. Maybe you've got a heart of flesh and it's not been working to the full capacity. You're alive, but you're not enjoying God the way perhaps you know is possible or you've experienced in the past. Mary came humbly before God. And that's what I'm going to encourage us to do. Come humbly before the King of Kings. Tell him of your desire. I want more of you, God. I need you. I desire you. I love God's heart. Then when we take a step towards him, he runs towards you and I. He comes to us. And maybe you align with having a heart of stone. You go, God is not on the horizon of my life. But maybe he's starting to come on that horizon of your life. Maybe you're saying this morning, I want that heart of flesh. I want Jesus to turn me around. And in and of ourselves, it's impossible. But with God, all things are possible. Are you willing to come to him empty-handed, that you're spiritually bankrupt? Are you willing to come to him humbly, saying, I want this new life? I come with debt because of my sin. But Jesus, you can blot it out. You've paid the debt that I could never pay. You can wash me clean. A thorough, thorough cleansing. That word was used by one of the people getting baptized. He can do a heart transformation this morning. And maybe you'll say, God came on the horizon of my life in 2025. You'll look back and go, you'll see other links if it is today. But today can be the day where you know Jesus and you have a heart of flesh instead of a heart of stone. I'd like us to stand. We're going to worship him. I know for me, there's a
yearning in my heart to know more of the Holy Spirit, to know more of God, the Holy Spirit's power, the Holy Spirit helping me to live more like Jesus. You want that? I'm sure you do. And I just have this desire and need to lean on and rely on the guidance of the Holy Spirit in every part of my life. Maybe you do too. It's life-giving, the Holy Spirit, right through Mary's story. Could you imagine Elizabeth? She almost shouted, "The Holy Spirit, that's what the Holy Spirit does. He comes and changes everything." Let's worship him. I'm sure there'll be some contributions, but we want to magnify the Lord, right? Maybe you're saying, "Oh, yeah, again, I'm coming to him. I'm going to magnify him because he has blessed me. He's blessed me with eternal life. And so I'm going to worship him. I'm going to magnify him. I'm going to glorify him because he's my saviour." And if that's you, let's go for it. Don't worry about anyone around you. Just worship the King. And maybe you're saying, "Today, it's been a bit cold. It's been a bit dry. I'm coming again. I'm going to worship him." Or maybe today you're saying, "Lord, give me that heart of flesh." And I'm sure we'll say a little bit more about that before we finish. But let's come and worship the King of Kings.